Welcome to the ProWrestling.net podcast for Wednesday, December 9th, 2015. I'm Jason Powell, joined once again by Jeff Jarrett. Global Force Wrestling announced events in Poughkeepsie, New York on January 22nd at the Mid-Hudson Civic Center, and also a co-promoted event with Pro Wrestling Syndicate in Rahway, New Jersey, the next night at the Rec Center, January 23rd. Jeff, tell me how these shows came together, with especially the one with Pro Wrestling Syndicate. I'm curious about that one.
Oh, cool. Well, I appreciate you having me on once again, and as you were giving that intro, it's hard to believe it's December 9th. Holy smokes, that hit me. Okay, how did the shows come about? Well, I'm in Nashville at Aqualand Hotel as we're recording this, and I'm having meetings with different ball teams to start strategizing the early plans for the Grand Slam Tour of 2016. But obviously, you can't wrestle outdoors in the winter. So we started, a lot of it was feedback online, and different tweets and different Facebook posts and just, you know, different things. And the Poughkeepsie, I've obviously known the management there for years and years. And that is actually the first place that I wrestled when I went to the WWF, the first TV taping I went to.
Sure.
It's a longstanding tradition. It's a great environment, great wrestling events have been held there over the years. You know, Monday Night Raw used to be done there almost monthly. TNA's had multiple shows there, Tommy Dreamer and his great House of Hardcore promotion. So Poughkeepsie Fit and the building and the radio station group in that market, we've all partnered together doing it, a little bit of a new school and a little bit of an old school style, just the way the partnership came together. So Poughkeepsie, I'm very excited about that. And then I'm glad that you are intrigued by the Pro Wrestling Syndicate, because I'm excited because it's really going to highlight on how we want to be somewhat unique in that Pro Wrestling Syndicate. They run monthly in the Rahway Rec Center or in that area. I've wrestled for them on and off over the years. And I said, let's do a co-promotion. Let's bring the best of the best. And Pat Buck and his guys have been nothing short of great to work with. And, you know, when you take even down to the minute things of the graphic department that they use, the graphics they use, the graphics we use. And so we've just collaborated. And, we got global stars coming in and the Pro Wrestling Syndicate stars coming in. And I think it's going to be a very, very good night of professional wrestling.
And tickets for those shows go on sale. Is it Friday, Jeff?
Yeah, both of them Friday. Ticketmaster, and you can go to our website, globalforcewrestling.com, but Ticketmaster has got the Poughkeepsie show, and at Rahway, you go to their website, and they'll give you the direct link there, right there on the main page. So very excited about it, Jason. It's a pretty cool, and we're talking to multiple promotions about doing different things, independent promotions across the country, and we're excited to be teaming up with them.
You mentioned the baseball winter meetings that you're currently at. Are you looking, is it to do more minor league ballpark stadium shows? Are you talking with any major league teams? Can you give us any update on that?
Major league teams, and they've had some, I believe when you have a major league team, obviously you're going into a major league market, much more expensive to advertise. The infrastructure just balloons. We're looking at, and we've had such a great relationship with all the minor league teams and the brand awareness. It's a real branding initiative and creating market awareness. And it's no secret. We're in the process of launching this company, and television is a component of it. But at the same time, the digital space, we've been very successful in creating that brand awareness. And that's something that, I was down here yesterday, had my first round of meetings, and back here today. And that's sort of the same thing that each team would sort of convey to me, is how excited they were coming out of the event, and how much social media traction that we brought to their team, how much, I'll call it goodwill to the market. And on our side of things, we're walking in 2016, Global Force Wrestling, I'll call it our marketing department, when you have 18, 20 teams, three or four in each market, that marketing department was pretty damn impressive, but just the reach. And so it's it's worked out good for both sides, and we just want to grow it. We knew we had a starting point. We knew brand awareness was, you know, quite frankly, minimal compared to the 1,000-pound gorilla WWE and other brands that have been around 10 or 15 years. So you got to start somewhere, and partnering with these clubs has paid off in spades in the brand awareness in each of these markets.
Now, the Pro Wrestling Syndicate deal is not the first time you've done a co-promoted show. I had someone in the industry compare Global Force Wrestling to the old NWA setup, and the idea this person mentioned was that Global Force would send its champions or talent to some of these independent events, and in return, Global Force Wrestling uses some of the promotion's talent on their television shows. Is that a fair assessment of your relationship with these indie promotions?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously, we went to Vegas this summer, July, August, and October. We've created, produced, and still in the process, and it's a tedious. And once it airs, you'll see how much work has gone into outside of the bell-to-bell footage. But, you know, we created those episodes, and so there's only a select few slots, but that is a fair assessment. The short answer to your question, Jason, I get long-winded sometimes, is yes, that's a fair assessment. But as we grow along, I think these independent promoters also like the feedback that I'm getting, the branding aspect of it as well, that it creates awareness for their promotion as well. So, you know, I'm a long time, and I was taught this at early age, that no matter what deal you do, if it's not a win-win for both parties, eventually, it may not happen soon with the party who takes the lion's share or the winning part of it, but eventually those deals go away. So I'm headstrong and really trying to make it a win-win for both promotions, and in turn, the wrestling fan wins.
Where do things stand as far as distribution for the Global Force Wrestling television show stand?
This is the third interview of today, so one guy corrected me. However many weeks ago it was when we made the announcement about Boulder Creek, and that was something that, you know, again, I'll go back to Vegas. Once we went to Vegas and created content, then agencies, both here in the U.S. as well as internationally, we made the decision and signed with Boulder Creek International, put together everything that you put together as far as sales materials. They attended Sportel. They attended BIPCOM. Last week they're in Singapore. This week they had a two-day conference in Vietnam. And so we are in different stages of discussions and contracts with our programming to air all over the world. In the U.S. market, we're dealing with a company out of L.A., and we'll be making an announcement. We're probably going to push that till after the first of the year. Maybe not, though, because we're dotting some I's and crossing some T's. And so we'll be first quarter of 2016, we'll be making some announcements on the, I'll say it, it's no secret now, the multiple forms of distribution methods that we're looking at. And it's I'm teed up and excited for truly having a global launch of AMPED, the television show.
Last time I talked to you back in June, it seemed like cable television wasn't necessarily a leading option for you. You were talking about those different distribution models. Is that still the case? Are you still, whether it's over the top or, you know, just kind of a WWE Network-like platform or even syndicated television, are those more likely than a traditional cable TV setup?
If you interview me, I'll say into January, I'll be able to give you a much more concrete answer. But no, cable is definitely the front runner. It is, but the cable television world of the business, that entire world, nowadays you can't have one without the other. You truly have cable distribution. You have, you know, streaming video on demand, just all the different forms that you can look at. To use the best example, but I'm sitting down here at Ocarina Hotel. It's a baseball. Every minor league game is streamed. You know, they've got multiple contracts. They've got Major League Baseball Network where you can, you know, around the clock. But then, you know, Fox has a package and ESPN has a package. So obviously they're an enormous brand, but they realized, so I'm told and done my research and talked to guys, they realized years ago that to really increase it's a business. So when we're all looking at revenues, but increase their business, which in turn you got to create the awareness. But then you also got to really geo-target, because there's, well, Jason, me and you have joked about hockey and some football. We don't joke about baseball much, but you know, there's Cincinnati Reds fans all over the country. So how do you service them? And really, well, they figured it out. Their app is through the charts good, and just, you know, there's, you have to deliver your content in so many ways nowadays. It is a challenge, and it's an enormous challenge that Global Force Wrestling, because we're a startup, but we're getting there, and it's a step-by-step process, and you know, our social numbers continue to grow, and all digital numbers continue to grow, and that tells not just me, but the team I have around me, that we're heading in the right direction.
Has this process taken longer than you expected as far as finding, you know, distribution?
I've tried to say it 1,000 times that patience has never been in my DNA, but in my opinion, yes. Now, if you go ask my attorneys and a production company that I'm working with and the international agents, not at all. They think we've done wonders in a short period of time. I think so, but I'm in the minority as it relates to my team. But also just the changing of the business. I mean, you just, you know, look at who would have thought 3 years ago that all pay-per-views except Mania would be on the network. I certainly didn't.
Oh, even Mania's on the network.
It is. But don't they still do that traditional pay-per-view as well and make the lion's share of their money there?
Well, they do that for all shows. They just don't have DirecTV Dish Network, but you know, certain cable providers still offer the pay-per-views.
Yeah. So, but anyway, that's sort of to my point, that it has changed drastically. And if you sort of look back over time, June 19, 2002, TNA was launched, and we did weekly pay-per-views for quite a while. It took us a while to launch that brand and get on Spike. So things don't happen overnight, for sure.
You've held those AMP tapings in Las Vegas, and somebody said production is wrapped on that. I think you made it seem like it's still ongoing. Either way, what's next? I mean, do you have additional tapings lined up, or is it now what's in the can is there until you find distribution?
No, we've got tapings, and we'll be, you know, the dates. I've got sort of multiple buildings and multiple dates that I'm working through. Obviously, you get the best deal and the most exposure and sort of everything that goes along with that. So it's all, I'll say, a work in progress. I have, and Karen can tell you this, I have spent more hours in my office since we got home from Vegas and got home from our UK tour shows. That happened not long after that. So the month of November burned a lot of midnight oil, but you know, at my office. So no, it's an ongoing thing. And when you say production's wrapped, the Vegas part is obviously wrapped, but I'll call it the editing and putting together all the content. Kevin Sullivan and his crew, I can't say enough good things about them. They're great. They really. The authenticity, I will say, we're happy and excited to share to the world AMP, because it's got a different feel for a wrestling program.
I see Bobby Roode is advertised for the Northeast events. Was that something you approached TNA about, or was that a case of Roode wanting to work those dates and reaching out to the company himself?
Well, as you know, we had the working agreement this past summer, and it was, I'll say, politically, it was left somewhat open-ended. And so, you know, going into these shows, again, I want to feature multiple promotions and stand on what I believe is wanted and needed in the wrestling business. And obviously with the PWS stars on the show on the Saturday night, some of them are going to be on the show on Friday night. And so, yes, I reached back out to TNA and said, hey, and Bobby's Bobby. He is the X Factor. He loves nothing more to tell the world and show the world. And so, no, he's eager to get in the ring. And so it's again, it's, you know, multiple promotions. Colt Cabana is on the shows, and he is, you know, to me, the superstar of all true independent wrestlers. And so we're excited. But, no, I reached out. The short answer is I did reach out to TNA about working with Bobby again.
Have you had any conversations with Dixie since you ended your run with TNA Impact Wrestling? I'm just kind of curious where that relationship stands.
There you go. No, multiple texts. Have we had it? I think we've talked a couple times. Multiple, I guess, because the last time, when was it? End of July that I was there?
Sounds about right. I'm so bad with
you. Yeah. So, yeah. No, but things are good.
You sold your remaining shares in TNA Wrestling. You held on to those shares for, you know, quite a while after leaving the company. So I've always been curious, why then? Why did you – what led to you making that decision to go ahead and give up those shares?
That'll be in the book, Jason, when that's released. Your head would spin. We don't have enough time to tell about it. But that'll be in the book. It's a privately held company, so I respect, and there's agreements in place. So I you know, we all have mutual respect with that situation. And you know, the Carters, Bob Carter, hell of a man, hell of a businessman as well. And so I'll leave it at that.
Okay. You say book. Is this like just a long-term, someday you're going to write a book, or are you actually in the process of writing one?
No, I have been approached over the years by multiple people that want to write a book. And, you know, there's so many wrestlers out there that have written books and you know, all that. I kind of feel that when I know I'm, and I don't think it'll ever happen, done, but I don't really have an interest in writing a book, to be honest with you, that if I did, I would really want to tell the good, the bad, and the ugly. If someone is going to you know, purchase a book, I want to give them their money's worth, just like any promoter. I want to give them their money's worth, and so I'm just at this time not really interested in writing that book.
Last year, Global Force handled the New Japan Wrestle Kingdom event, Wrestle Kingdom 9 on American pay-per-view. I've been told that there will not be a U.S. broadcast, and with January 4th less than a month away, is it safe to assume that's the case?
I do not know the answer to that with 100% authority, but all eyes, just like you, I'm a wrestling fan as well, and so I do not see, you know, we haven't seen any promotion on it, and we're inside of a month. So, I New Japan, I don't think they have any aspirations, which is surprising to me. Actually, very surprising on the one hand, but on the other hand, you know, I don't know their books and their numbers, and they're going to have it on their streaming service, I'm sure, with U.S. announcers, I would assume, but I guess those details have not been released.
Now, is it safe to say Global Force, if there is anything, isn't involved at this point? Is it just too late?
Yeah, it's too late. It's obviously too late. And you know, the awareness that the awareness that we created last year, and I'll put over Jim Ross, because he led the way in so many ways. And both of us were just diligent. We made our mind when we came to an agreement, me and Jim, and Jim, we all came to terms on how we were going to approach it. Me and Jim looked at each other and really said, we're going to do this. I mean, let's do it. And we worked tirelessly, Kevin Sullivan and his crew, the videos that were done. You know, we really made our mindset that we were going to push the product, and because it was so good. We knew the bell-to-bell action, that show was going to be so good, and it was. I was proud at my stage in my career to be a part of that show, because Wrestle Kingdom 9, I think, you know, is going to go down in history as it's really, you know, I think the stars aligned in a lot of ways for the uniqueness of that. It was the first time that Jim Ross had called a major wrestling event since he left WWE. It was the first time Wrestle Kingdom 9 was on that, you know, it became a worldwide platform via the Flips app, but, you know, got on the stage of North America. The Bullet Club obviously won their first Wrestle Kingdom 9, but just with AJ and Doc and Carl and the Bucks, and just how that was really, it had already taken off, but it was really, really hot. Not saying that they're not hot now, but it was a lot of first times, and the stars, they just lined up, and it was a hell of an event.
Well, last question, because I know you have to run with the meeting coming up. Why are you picking on Matt Hardy? 30 some stitches, really?
He moved. He wants to blame me. I'm the veteran. He moved, and then he wants to go on social media and cry. Many famous wrestlers have told me, kid, this ain't ballet. And so I'll leave it at that.
I have a feeling this will to be continued at WrestleCade 5.
It was ugly, Jason. I'm sure you saw the pictures, but
I did.
I'll tell you a brief little story. Coming back through the down the aisle, I heard fans have some really unique comments. I'm trying not to say this because I can't repeat what they said in a couple of ways, but they were like, "Holy!" And then I come through the curtain, and the look on a guy's face that he's very well known wrestler. He said, "Damn." And it's not Ron Simmons, but he just shook his head and walked off. Anyway, it was a unique night. And what an event that WrestleCade was, though. Those guys, Brian Hawks and Tracy Myers and the whole crew, they really teed that thing up and promoted the hell out of it. Great turnout, sold out. It's a very successful event.
Well, very cool. Do me a favor. While you're down there at the winter meetings, if you hear any rumblings that the Twins are going to go cheap, you know what to do with that guitar.
Okay, so help me out on this, because I am not the expert in baseball by any stretch of the imagination. Are you saying that the Twins are not going to get up the checkbook for some folks?
They're kind of notorious for not doing that. They really have improved the product here. Last year was a very pleasant surprise, and people are hoping that they're going to open up the wallet a little bit and spend a little bit more. We don't expect to be the Yankees or anything and go crazy, but you just never quite know with the Pollad family if that's ever going to happen.
Got it. Okay. What's up with you Minnesota teams? The Vikings owners from time to time have had, I'll say, a little bit of controversy, and now I'm hearing this. So how's the hockey team doing this year?
They're doing okay. They're kind of going through that December slump, if you will. Last year it was unbearable, but they beat the Blackhawks again. So after a three-game losing streak, they go into Chicago and win, so I was stunned.
And Jason, one other thing, you just carry on the interviews, the Masked Saint. I want to touch on that. Because we got a lot going on, and there's so many different things. We've talked about the winter meetings. We've talked about AMP. We've talked about Poughkeepsie and Ron Wayne. We're excited. But on January 8th, the Masked Saint is going to be premiering nationwide. You can go to the website. You can go to our website and get information. But it's one of Roddy Piper's last movies. And if you're a wrestling fan, you will want to watch this, because the wrestling is treated with such dignity and respect, and it's got a lot of integrity to it. And it's a really, really good movie. It's faith-based, but it appeals to all audiences. It is a family movie, but like I said, if you're a wrestling fan, you will love the story. It's based on a true, it's based on real events. Chris Whaley became a pastor of a megachurch, but when he journeyman wrestler, when he was getting out of wrestling, he had a battle in his head of what to do and what not to do, and he continued to wrestle and caused a little issues with the church. But the story is so endearing and done so well. I can't say enough good about it. It started off as basically a marketing initiative for Global Force. We were consulting on it and appealing to the wrestling audience, and it has become almost one of my passions to really promote it. And Piper plays, get this, Jason, an evil promoter. So I'm sure Roddy had many experiences to call on throughout this career. But no, he does it so well. It's really, really good. But that's it. January 8th, it premieres nationwide. You can go to themassaint.com and get all the information on where it's going to be seen.
Well, very cool. Jeff, I know you got to go. Thank you very much for the time, and I'm sure we'll be doing this again soon in the new year. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, Jason, as usual. And go Titans, go Preds.